good evening. Everybody doing good? All right, it's an honor to be here. I'm just thankful to be here tonight. You know, we just had a mikvah, they had baptismal. And that kind of touched me when I seen some brothers and sisters get up there. And when pastor said, "Follow Yeshua, HaMashiach." I've never heard that. In all my life going to church, I've never heard it like that. It was always said in other ways. But it made sense, clarity of who we're supposed to be following. We die to ourselves, and we're going to start living in Him. Turn down just a little bit. And so we continue on with our Torah portions. Our Torah portions is understanding Yah's likes and His dislikes. We're learning that we just can't come to God any kind of way we want. Come to Yehovah the way He wants, the way He likes, on His time, and the way He likes it. We can't just do it any kind of way that we feel like. Pastor Josh was talking about getting the wood ready. And that was an incredible demonstration. Getting everything in order. And we start with Shabbat. Because that's what he says. It starts with Shabbat. That's the foundation. We discipline ourselves in being on His time and the place on the seventh day, and then everything else follows the feast days. Everything follows in order. We'll come here on Wednesday night, we'll come here on Friday evening, Friday morning. We set those times in order. We discipline ourselves. Hey, it's disciplinary. Put ourselves in looking in the image and likeness of Yehovah as Yeshua did. Yeshua is the high priest. And we're supposed to be kings and priests. We follow our high priest. This Torah portion is Tzav. Tzav is commands. And in Tzav is the letters Tzadi and Vav. Tzadi is a righteous man. And Vav is the tent peg, or connected. So Tzadi and Vav is a righteous man connected. A righteous man, a righteous Kohen, righteous priest connected to Yehovah. And so you see that in there when you look at those letters. And that's how we're understanding through Hebrew letters and words. It gives us a pictograph and a meaning. There's a great meaning behind each one. A priest, a righteous man connected. We as priests set our lives in order as Yeshua prescribed and stay connected. As a Zadi, Zav, we are being changed into the likes of Yehovah, connected, being clothed, putting on garments of righteousness. We're going to talk about garments tonight. We're going to talk about garments of righteousness. And ultimately, to be in the likeness and the image of Yehovah. Yeshua said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one." Me and my wife get together, say we got married, we're one. It doesn't mean I'm my wife. My wife is me. It means we're one. We're together. Yeshua and His Father are one. And so, Yeshua is the head. He's the high priest. He's the Kohen. You want to know why the sick and the lame and the blind were so attracted to Him? Because He's the living life source, the Torah, of healing and shalom, the only cure and the only hope. Becoming a true Kohen under Yeshua, when kept in order, will have the same thing happen to us. You want to have people attracted? People that are broken, people that are sick and going through troubles. When we're being like a high priest, Yeshua, they were attracted by the thousands to Yeshua because they needed hope. They needed help. They needed healing. And when He was that light, that living Torah, when that woman grabbed the hem of His garment, His tzitzit, she knew what the Torah was. He's a living Torah. She got life. How do you get life? You get life through the Torah. It's the pure living word of Yehovah. You can't change it. You can't add to it. You can't take from it. In the Torah portion, there's a word, olah, and it's the ascending offering. Giving totally of oneself to Yehovah. And we can look in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And it's to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. I'm going to skip on down to slide 47 on this word, olah. Notice the pictograph, the ancient pictograph script, the Hebrew word, ascending offering, olah. Strong's H5930 looks like this. An ayin, a lamed, and a hey. Ayin. Ayin is the eye, it's the window of knowledge. We keep our eyes on the Torah, Yeshua, right? Supposed to keep our eyes on the living Torah. The original pictograph of this letter is an eye, and represents the idea of seeing and watching, as well as the knowledge. As the eye is the window of knowledge. That's why we can be careful what we look at. Our eye is the window of knowledge. That's why we keep our eyes on Yeshua. Why? Because he's the living Torah. And then we have Lamed. Ancient the ancient script has this letter as a shepherd's staff, and can give the meaning of to or toward, and can represent that which pushes or pulls a flock in a direction, and can speak of authority or a yoke that is used to lead and guide, as well as the ability to bring back by authority. It's a yoke, and it's in a direction. So we've got the ayin, is the eye, is the window of knowledge. We keep our eyes on the living Torah. We have lamed, it's a yoke, and it's a direction. And then we have hey. Ancient script has this letter pictured. A man standing with his arms raised out. The meaning of this letter is to behold, look, breathe, sigh, and reveal, or revelation, from the idea of revealing a great sight by pointing it out. It also carries for us the meaning of surrender as we lift up our hands and submit to Yehovah as we lift our hands in praise, declaring his authority under which we humbly submit. So, hey, in short, would be to behold, to look, and breathe. So we as priests give ourselves in a sacrificial offering, replacing our selfish ego with the true burning character of Yehovah. Through discipline, order, standards, we learn how to keep the fire, the character of Yehovah, burning and never let it go out. I got this word that I looked up a while back, and I always had a wonder about the heart and the mind. And the heart and the mind, the Hebrew word for heart and mind is levav. Levav, the heart and the mind. They work together as the hand moves to grab a cup at the split second of a thought and grasp it after having slowly learned how to grasp something as an infant to a child and to adults. When children are small, they learn. When they're really small infants, they're slow at grabbing. You give them your finger, and they look at it carefully, and it takes a little time to see it. They've just learned how to see, how to grab it real slowly. And then as they get older, they really start learning how to grab stuff. Don't grab it. And it's quick. When they think and they see, they can grab it really quick. It don't take long to learn. Well, it's the same way with us. In the same way, eyes look upon the knowledge of the Torah, and in learning and submission, and grasping it like a child with practice, remember, in the time of any given situation, submit to it in the mind, and it goes into the heart of a man, and the response is shalom. Think about that. When we do something that transgresses the Torah, it doesn't bring shalom. You already know it's wrong, so it brings grief, because you know you did wrong. It's automatic. It goes from the mind, and it goes into the heart, and it causes grief or shalom, whichever path we choose to take in our response. That's why the right knowledge is so important. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. In Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2. Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2. I call upon you, therefore, brothers, through the compassion of Elohim, to present your bodies a living offering, set apart, well-pleasing to Elohim, your reasonable worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you prove what is good and well-pleasing and the perfect desire of Elohim. In a recent advances of neuroscience, there is a fascinating discovery about the organ of the human heart. The discovery is that there are neurons in the heart that connect to the brain. So it seems now that the mind of a man exists with both the brain and the heart. And that made more sense to me. because I kept trying to separate the two, because when you look up the word levav, it talks about the heart and it talks about the mind. So many times I got myself confused thinking, oh, when they talk about the heart, they're just talking about the mind. They're just talking about the mind. But the heart's there also. But it makes sense. It says, so it seems now that the mind of man exists within both the brain and the heart as two organs together. When our Creator speaks to us using the word levav, He is directing us to understand how important it is within His design to pay attention to the thoughts of our mind. What we're thinking in any one moment of time has a huge role in how we're experienced in that moment and how we live and how we will live within the moment of time. When our hearts and minds are working together in Torah, there is shalom. At any given time, we can have a thought through sight or a memory that can transgress the Torah. If we respond with the wrong thought and it enters the heart, we then are filled with hardness of heart and grief in our hearts instead of shalom. Correct? Through thought and action, we can be slaves to life and shalom, or slaves to sin and death. We can use the Torah portion, Tzav, which is a righteous man connected, and we can use Levav, which is our mind and our heart, through the Torah. Through the reading and the studying of the Torah, then we start practicing it on a daily basis. All the thoughts in our mind that are rebellious against the Torah starts fading, and we start remembering about the things that we've read in the Torah about how to respond in the correct way. It goes into our heart and produces shalom. You always have shalom in the Torah. Yeshua always had shalom because he studied and learned the Torah, and he did it correctly. A righteous Zadi man connected with Vav to Yehovah and Levav, the heart and the mind. So that's a good lesson to learn. You can study and put that in your notes. Zav, a righteous man connected, and Levav, in the heart and the mind. The heart and the mind connected to Yehovah. In Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 9. Do not worry at all, but in every matter, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, that should always bring shalom, if you're always giving thanksgiving. We don't always have a habit of giving thanksgiving. We get upset about certain things, it doesn't go our way, and it causes us to be from the hard heart again. It goes from a thought, and when you stop and pause, just like the child grabbing the finger for the first time, we're reminded, give thanks in all things. It's not going my way right now, but I want to give thanks in this. Yehovah knows what He's doing. I ended up in this spot. I didn't expect it to go this way today, but that's okay. And it brings shalom. Let your request be known to Elohim, which says prayer. Let your request be known to Elohim, which surpasses all understanding, and shall guard your hearts and your minds through Messiah Yeshua. But we keep our eyes on Yeshua Messiah. He's the living Torah. For the rest, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is righteous, whatever is clean, learning what is clean, right? Whatever is lovely, whatever is a good report, if there is any uprightness and if there is any praise, think on these. And what you have learned and received, what you have learned and received and heard and saw in me. That's why I got to keep looking at Yeshua. What you've heard and learned and saw in me, practice these, and the Elohim of peace, shalom, shall be with you. Luke chapter 6, 43-45. For a good tree does not yield rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree yield good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. So they do not gather figs from thorns, nor they gather grapes from a bramble bush. The good man brings forth what is good out of the good treasure of his heart, and the wicked man brings forth what is wicked out of the wicked treasures of his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. We're going to be talking about the garments tonight in the Torah portion. But before we get into there, talking about what we're supposed to be doing, let's go ahead and look at a Haftorah and see what Israel wasn't doing correctly. We want to go over those things because we want to see what we're supposed to do, and we want to see what was done in error that we don't want to do. It says in the Haftorah, it's in Yirmiyahu chapter 7, Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 21 through 28, and chapter 9, 22 through 23. I'm kind of just going to brief over this because we have a lot to get into in the Torah portion. We're just going to brief over this a little bit. We could spend all night on the Haftorah. There's a lot of detail. I'm telling you, everything I learned in the Haftorah this week and everything I learned in the slides of this week's Torah portion, we can camp out here for 2 nights. There's a lot there. There's so much there. So the Haftorah parallels the Torah portion. The responsibility of the priest in learning, teaching, and adhering to the Torah. And here we have Yirmiyahu, a priest. He's a Kohen, a priest, and a prophet. And he's got a big responsibility on his feet. I was laying in bed last night, I was talking to my wife, I was like, can you imagine Yirmiyahu being told by Yehovah, he's got to go talk to all these priests, all these Israelites that are going in error, doing the wrong thing. And he tells them, he says, they're not going to listen to you. That's encouraging. They're not going to listen to you, but you need to go tell them anyway. And I'm glad he did, because Yeshua went and read this. And he told us to go and read it. And it's because there was going to be a remnant. Maybe not all of them, but there was going to be a remnant. And that's why we're here today, because there will be a remnant. Not everybody, but Yahweh knows what he's doing. And it's for a reason and purpose. When he told Yirmiyahu to do it, he had to go do it. He's under a lot of pressure. I just had to think about this guy. He's a priest and a Kohen and a prophet. Yehovah has him rebuke Judah. He's got to go rebuke him. And you know, at that time when you did a rebuke or said something to certain ones, they killed you. His life was on the line. They could have killed him if they wanted to. Imagine the responsibility. No one better than one who knows the priestly role and the responsibility. Yehovah's primary intention in taking their forefathers out of Egypt wasn't the sacrificial offerings, rather in order that they observe the commandments. Because when we read about this, we're going to see they was doing everything from the outward. They never did anything from the heart. They had a heart issue. It's trying to get them to catch on to that. As we're learning how to put these things on and put it in order, we're learning his likes and his dislikes, his character, what he's like, his pure loving kindness, his pure chesed. There's this word chesed that worked in my mind the last couple of days. I kept thinking about it, and I couldn't remember what it meant. And it's like the Father kept saying, chesed, chesed. I'm like, man, I forgot about that word. And so I started looking it up. It says loving kindness. When you go look in some of the English translations, it's loving kindness. But when you go look in the scriptures, it says it's loving commitment. I'm like, okay, which one is it? Is it loving commitment? Is it loving kindness? And so I started looking up some things up in Israel. Chesed is really a big, big word because it really describes almost the greatest description of you could think of Yehovah, because it's a lot of things in chesed. Chesed is just it's who he is, his loving kindness, his compassion, his commitment, his grace, his mercy, his everything, including Yeshua, what he did for us with Yeshua. And so, in order that they observe the commandments, they were sacrificing from an outward because of a heart issue. Observing his commandments would deal with the issues of the heart and to know the heart of Yehovah. Putting everything in order in his likes and his dislikes reveals who Yehovah is and what we ought to become. Like Yeshua, we get to become like him. Yirmiyahu chapter 7, verses 21 through 28. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, add your ascending offerings to your slaughterings and eat meat. He says it just like that. Add your ascending offerings to your slaughterings and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Mishraim about matters of ascending offerings or slaughtering. But this word I did command them, saying, obey my voice, and I shall be your Elohim, and you be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, so that be well with you. But they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and the stubbornness of their evil heart. They didn't change anything. And went backwards and not forward. From the day that your fathers came out of the land of Mishraim until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, priests, and prophets, from Moshe to Noah. Noah, who gave warning like a prophet and portrayed in his obedience, he built an ark following Yehovah's command. A priest making sure he had the right amount of animals for the sacrifice to continue the feast days and keep it all in order, not changing anything. And that's what he was referring to. A priest making sure he had the right amount of animals, daily rising up early and sending them. This is the next part of the verse. Daily rising up early and sending them. But they did not obey me, inclined their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did evil more than their fathers. And you shall speak all these words to them, though they do not listen to you. See? Even though knowing they wouldn't listen, and like we talked about earlier, there will be a remnant. And the world isn't going to listen, but there's a remnant here also. And you shall also call to them, though they do not answer you, but you shall say to them, this is a nation that did not obey the voice of Yehovah, their Elohim, nor did they accept instruction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. And they had a price to pay for not listening. They fell captive to Babylon. Guess where we at? We in Babylon. We are a bunch of grafted in, born again Hebrews, living in Babylon. And we got to go say and do when he says to go say and do and follow his orders. Because there's a remnant. There's a remnant of the tribe, the lost tribes of Israel, that's waking up. Hello? Waking up. There's many of them that aren't awake yet. That's okay. Go and say. Just keep being salt. Just keep being light. Jeremiah chapter 7, 29-34, starts off with, cut off your hair and throw it away. And that was pretty interesting, because hair was shaved off when someone died. And so I was thinking about that. There's a bunch of them about to die. They're about to go down. Not tonight. Cut off your hair and throw it away. And take up a lamentation on the bare heights. For Yehovah has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Yehuda have done what is evil in my eyes, declares Yehovah. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. This right here is where the pagan practices come in at. And are still being practiced in the house of Yehovah today. Rather ignorant to it, or just honestly not know or see it, yet churches all over the world practice these abominations in symbolism and type. And what's known today as Easter, which is really Ishtar, kids coloring pretty eggs in a fun way, but it's not really Passover. It was a horrific thing that was done then, and is still practiced today in the church. How can a church's prayers be heard of stopping abortion, yet still practices and symbolism where it came from, and Easter, taking eggs and dipping them in babies' blood, infants that were sacrificed on the altar, in Yehovah's house and on the high place? We want to pray for abortions to go away, but yet in church, we symbolize where it came from. That's an abomination to Yehovah. And this is what he said to them. So you might want to pay attention. might not want to do away with this. And they have built the high places of Topheth. We'll study up on Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command. You know, when I first read this a long time ago, I never did picture in my mind it was Israel. I'm like, Israel? Israel? Really? Judah? Israel? They did this. After everything they knew, after everything they learned, after everything they had been taught, and they veered away from what he said. He says, they burned their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. Therefore, see, the days are coming, declares Jehovah, when it shall no longer be called Topheth, the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. They shall bury in Topheth until no room is left. And the corpses of this people shall be food for the birds of the heavens and for the beasts of the earth. And if you go to Revelation, you can read it. It's all in there. It's all in Revelation what's going to happen in the future. It's all a repeat. It's all a repeat. So we need to pay attention. You need to pay attention to what Yeshua paid attention to. What did he read? Where did he get it from? He got it from the prophets and the priests. The Torah, the Tanakh, and all the prophets. The corpse of this people shall be food for the birds of the heavens, for the beasts of the earth, with none to frighten them away. And in the cities of Yehuda and the streets of Jerusalem, I shall make to cease the voice of rejoicing and the voice of gladness. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall become a waste. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 22-23. Speak, thus declares Jehovah. The corpses of men shall fall as dung on the face of the field, like cuttings after the reaper, with none to gather them. Thus said Jehovah. Let not the wise boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty boast in his might, nor let the rich boast in his riches. Chapter 9, verses 24-26. For let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me. I was supposed to get to know him by obeying his commands and doing what he says, putting it all in order, doing as he commands. That'll be a sweet-smelling fragrance and aroma unto Jehovah, that he sees the reflection of himself. It's like when the priest would look in there and make sure in the brazen of the brass bowl, they would look and make sure their reflection was right, make sure it was right. And they wouldn't put their hands in it. They wouldn't do what they wanted to do. They didn't touch it because they tainted it with sin. We all tainted it with sin. But when they did it the way he said it, they would take it, dip it out. That's how they would do it. He followed all the steps. The garments. The garments represent the Torah. When we're obedient to the Torah, we put it in our mind, we love our neighbor as ourselves, it gets into our heart, and it will become that reflection. That's putting on robes of righteousness. And we're going to read about all that in a little bit. He says, let him boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Yehovah, doing chesed, loving commitment, right ruling, and righteousness in the earth. For in this I delight, declares Jehovah. See, the days are coming, declares Jehovah, when I shall punish all circumcised with the uncircumcised. Mishraim and Yehuda, Edom, and the children of Ammon and Moab, and all those trimmed on the edges who dwell in the wilderness, for all the nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. Remember the scripture that says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. How do we get knowledge? How are we getting knowledge? You got to keep digging and searching and researching the scriptures in the Torah. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. What is wisdom? Wisdom is applied knowledge. How are you going to apply it if you don't know anything about it? You have to know it. Not going to fall out of the sky, and you can't just trust any man to give it to you. You got to have three or four witnesses to find out who the real Messiah is. We got to go to the Torah to get some of our evidence there, and then we got to go into the prophets to find out the rest of who Yeshua really is. We just can't take anybody's word for him. We got to read what he said and take his word for it. So the point is, they did not obey, nor did they incline their ear, but walked according to their own counsels and in the view of their evil heart, and they went backwards and not forward. So we can't come to him any way we want to. We can't come when we want, how we want, and do it any kind of way that we want. And in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, nor the strong man boast of his strength, nor the rich man boast of his riches, but let him that boasts exalt in this, that he understands and knows me, Yahweh said. But we as Cohen priests in Babylon today are to keep the fire burning and the standard we are being taught throughout the week, following each Shabbat. Now we're going to start in slide 97. It's 96. Putting on the linen garment. Now, before we even read this, I had a question. So we're going to get into these garments. And these garments, I've had a question. How will we know what garments to put on if we don't know the Torah and its instructions or the prophets of Yahweh's warning of being properly clothed in righteousness, or the prophets with Jehovah's warnings? How will we know? And there's a scripture Brother Scott gave me last night, and I want to read that before we get into the garment. In Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, it says, hush, in the presence of the Master Jehovah, for the day of Yehovah is near, for Yehovah has prepared a slaughter. He has set apart his invited one. And it shall be in the day of the slaughter of Yehovah that I shall punish the rulers and the sons of the sovereign and all such that are clad in foreign garments. So that's a warning right there for us to make sure we got the right garments on. There's a slaughter for those who are in foreign garments. There's words that Yeshua even spoke. We'll go into the New Testament on Brihani Shah. When he went up to a man that didn't have the right garments on. He looked odd. He thought he had the right garments on, but he didn't. There's many, many today that's not paying attention and may not have the right garments on. And so let's start looking through here on the garments. Put on the linen garment. The word for linen in the Hebrew means white linen, and is thought to be from the word that means to be separated, apart, isolated. And so here, we see once again that in order to do service and keep the fire going, we can only do this by having put on our set-apart garments of righteousness. You see, learn Torah, we start practicing, we start doing. As we do, and our hearts have shalom and peace, we're putting on garments of righteousness. From adhering to Torah, just like Yeshua did. The Hebrew root word that is translated here for put on is labash, Strong's H3847, which means wear, put on, be clothed, apparel, and dress. And the Hebrew root word that is translated here as linen is bag. So it's a good thing to say that you're a bad Hebrew. Okay? You can put that in there. You're a bad Hebrew if you're this. And English bad, and Hebrew bad, not English bad. Pay attention to this. Strong's H906, which means white linen. And we see this word also being used in the Hebrew in reference to separation. Bad, which means alone, beside, apart, separation. It comes from the primitive root word, bedad, which means to be separated, isolated, and alone. And I can honestly say Yeshua got to a real isolated, separated, and lonely place. I'm sure Yirmiyahu was in a very separated, isolated, and lonely place. And a lot of them were. Elijah was in a spot like that. Many of them got like that. And I'm sure that's where Yeshua got it from. He learned it. Same thing. Therefore, we can see how linen garments clearly represent a set-apart service and work, which teaches us that we, too, are to be separated from the fleshly matters of the world as regards to walk in the pure righteousness of the Torah as a daily living offering, giving our whole lives, serving and loving our Master with our all. You know, reflecting back, we were talking about earlier, about be careful what we look upon with our eyes. If we sit and stay in fleshly matters for a long, long period of time, and we stay distressed, and we stay full of anxiety, no wonder, because we don't spend enough time with the Torah reflecting on the image of Yehovah. We have to spend a lot of time there. Spend a lot of time just re-disciplining myself, because I knew I would have Wednesday night. The discipline to stay in this, and it brought me closer, and it gave me a lot of strength all week long, in any circumstance, every circumstance, and it wasn't as bad as it was if I wouldn't have studied as much. A lot of studying, a lot of knowledge gets you closer drawn to the Father, and it makes your reactions to situations a whole lot different. It separates you from the things of the flesh, from what the flesh really wants to do. So what you spend your time with the most is what you're going to do. And it'll pay off in any given situation you get in front of somebody. If you're spending too much time with the flesh, you can only cover it over and hide it for so long. It's going to slip up and come out at somebody or something. Because it's in the heart. Revelation chapter 9, verse 8. And to her it was given to be dressed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the set apart one. Revelation 3, 5. He who overcomes shall be dressed in white robes, and I shall by no means blot out his name from the book of life, but I shall confess his name before my Father, before his messenger. Fine linen speaks of purity, righteousness, and the sinless life of Messiah, and as we are clothed in him, we are to walk in purity and walk in righteousness, which is to do all he commands us to do. Deuteronomy 6:25, and it is righteousness for us when we guard to do all this command before Yehovah our Elohim as he commanded us. The righteous garments we are given to wear has been provided for in his Torah through the life, death, and resurrection of the living Torah, the Word made flesh. And that's so much easier. So much a great help to see Yeshua the living Torah. We have a great example to follow. You know, he was the living Torah, he followed it, and then we follow his example, and we see it all throughout Scripture, and we have someone to look upon in obedience. We tend to slaughter place day and night by putting on Yehovah's commandments and judging ourselves by his right standards. Those who are judged and fit to wear these garments are those who overcome. For the self, the world influences, or the need for security, let us be a people that tend the slaughter place daily as we offer up our lives as a living sacrifice. If the fire isn't burning, then we cannot be offered up. Fire has to be burned. Going to the strict motions of the letter of the Torah, and a strict legalistic approach, only without the heart of pure and undefiled obedience, is not a means of keeping a burning fire going. But us putting on these clothes, linen of righteousness, we are in effect putting off the call and luring of the world as we make it clear that we are a set apart people busy attending the slaughter place of Yehovah. And as we come here on Shabbat, and all week long, we can't wait to get there on Shabbat, then we do Shabbat, and we experience the shalom of Shabbat, and we practice the same thing we did on Shabbat on Sunday, and then on Monday, and then on Tuesday, and then we're going to have our times up and down. But as we keep doing that over and over, we're going to see ourselves becoming like people, and we're going to have shalom in our hearts. That puts robes of righteousness on when we're doing that. By us putting on these clothes, linens of righteousness, we're in effect putting off the call and luring of the world as to make it clear that we are a set apart people busy with tending the slaughter place of Yehovah. And so now, once you're doing that and you're locked in, you're coming on Shabbat. This routine, you love it, you do it, you're finding out what it's all about, and it draws you closer to Yehovah, your master, and you're loving it, and you're going through your work week, and then somebody all of a sudden asks you if they could book a trip on so-and-so day, and it happens to be on the Shabbat. No, I can't book it on that day. And they're like, okay, what about this day? Oh, that's Saturday. I don't do Saturdays. And if they pose the question, why don't you do Saturday? With no problem at all, I could tell them, because I'm doing it faithfully, and I'm loving it and living it, I could say, hey, I do Shabbat. I do Saturday, I go to church on that day. And they say, okay, okay. Or they might further ask me, what is that? And so then there's your tool. You can explain to them what it is, and why, and how. And so there you are. And it's like anything else. Whatever else we learn in the Torah, and we're living it. And we're being the salt and the light of the earth in front of people and everyone. Anybody would ask us that question, we won't be caught like a deer in headlights. We're doing what we do. By putting on the white linen of righteousness, we are in effect submitting to the clear authority of the word of Elohim and functioning according to his perfect design for his house, burnt offerings or ascending offerings. That is that which was completely burned up as a pleasing aroma to Yehovah, symbolizes that total commitment to Yehovah. As high priest Yeshua Messiah came and put on the linen garments of righteousness in the flesh in order to become the proper and complete ascending offering for us, his body. So Yeshua came and did it, and we as priests will learn to do the same thing. A Hebrew word that is derived from the root verb, lavash, Strong's H3847, which means wear, put on, be clothed, apparel, dress, is a noun that is often translated as dress, which is the word lavoots, H3830, which means garment, clothing, apparel, raiment, put on. In the ancient pictograph text, this word, the boots, which means garment, clothing, apparel, raiment, put on, looks like this. Lamed, bait. Then we have the boots. Lamed, bait, vav. Okay, with the vav. Lamed, the ancient script has this letter as a shepherd's staff. Can give the meaning to or toward, and can represent that which pushes or pulls a flock in a direction, and can speak of authority or a yoke that is used to lead and guide, as well as the ability to bring back by authority. Faith. Ancient script has this letter, which pictures a tent floor plan, and means house, a tent. It represents family and the importance of those who are inside the tent, as opposed to the tent structure itself. Five. The ancient script has this letter pictured as a tent peg, which was used for securing or tying the tent or other items. The possibility of it having a Y shape is to show that it prevents the rope from slipping off. The root meaning of this word is to add, secure, or hook. As we talked about earlier, connect. Shin. This is the letter shin, which is an ancient scripture pictured as two front teeth, which is two front teeth and carries the meaning of sharp or pressed, chew, or devour. Or you can always, I look at it always as almost like a W. Reminds me of the word of Yehovah. It's the word. Torah. It carries the meaning of sharp, oppressed, chew, or devour, which is what the teeth do, and also speaks with the sharpened word that comes forth from the mouth. As the teeth chew or meditate on truth, making what comes forth pure and sharp. It also carries the understanding of consuming or destroying as the teeth do through food. This can give us the meaning of word or word. And we also said we can also give the wrong words and destroy others. We can say wrong words that hurt people, that damage people, and can kill people. As one looks at this pictograph rendering of this word, Labush, H3830, when speaking of the garments of righteousness that we have been clothed in through the blood of the Lamb, we take note of the following meaning. Labush is the authority of the house is made secure in the word. So you have the authority of the house made secure in the word. And so in Revelation, that is true. When we are obedient to the Torah, you have authority in his house, won't get kicked out, is made secure, be secure in the Word. So on our journey, we're studying. Our high priest Yeshua set us up with great leaders. We have Pastor Josh and Pastor Jesse. They say to be here on this time, do this on that time. We're going to follow the feast days, we're going to follow this, we're going to do it this way, and do that way, and we're learning all the Torah portions, what this is, garments are, and then we're given revelations, we find out what that is, so on our journeys, when we get there, we won't be caught like deer in headlights, we're going to know that we're practicing it, we're doing it, and we're performing it, like just like you study for a test or an exam, when it comes time for the exam, you can breathe in shalom because you know you're in the right place, doing the right thing, the right time, and you know when you looked upon, you won't be told, I don't know you. What is these foreign garments? Right? I know what that is. My father gave that to me, and I lived that out, and that's why I was raised from the dead, and I'm seated at his right hand, and I come back for you, my bride. He's coming back for a bride that's dressed the way he's dressed, acts the way he acts, talks what he talks. He's in the likeness and the image of his Father. And that's what we're supposed to be. In the image and likeness of his Father. What this clearly shows us is that to be properly clothed in truth, we must guard the word and submit to the authority of our Master and Elohim. He has given us all we need to sustain us and be built up in him as his house, which he has secured in his own blood. We must make sure that we do not defile the garments that the Lamb has provided us with as we guard the rules of the house by guarding his Torah and his command. He's given us a second chance. He was crucified and gave us his blood so that we can be cleansed from all our unrighteousness and not be hit with the penalty of all the things that should have come upon us because of unrighteousness and sin and the transgression of the Torah. And death that should have come upon us. Give him another chance. He shed his blood. So we can take upon his blood. His blood is the pure blood that comes through the Torah. That's what his blood is. And his blood was pure and his Father sustained him through that. And so the same way, we get born again, we get grafted in. It hasn't been completely done yet, but by faith, and believe in what he said, we go to that pool in a mikvah. We put that sinful life to death. And it's not done away with from that point forward, but we got to practice every day in the Torah. We take the Torah and we look at it. It's a mirror and it shows us where we're going wrong at. Where we're being sinful. What the Father's displeased with. What he doesn't like. And then if you keep doing this, you'll end up just like Israel. And he talked about it in Yirmiyahu. When those were destroyed, the same way in Revelation, if you're not clothed in the right garment, and we're trampling on our feet after you give us a second chance, the Son of God, we can't make it. It's impossible. We must make sure that we do not defile the garment that the Lamb has provided us with as we guard the rules of the house by guarding His Torah and His commandments. And speaking of a wife, a bride of noble character, in Mishlei Proverbs 31, we're told in verse 22 how she is dressed. Now we're in Proverbs, how she's supposed to be dressed. She shall make tapestry for herself. She is dressed in fine linen and purple. We must find out what this is. The Hebrew word used here for dress is labush, which means garment, clothing, apparel, raiment, put on, and the Hebrew word that is used here for fine linen is shesh. H8336, and the Greek word that is used in the Septuagint for fine linen is bousos. G1040. And from this word we get the adjective bousisno, which is used in reference to the fine linen that the bride of the Lamb is given to be dressed in. Hazan, Revelation 19:8. And to her it was given to be dressed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the set apart one. The Greek word that is translated as dressed here in Hazan, Revelation 19:8, is peribalo. Peribalo. Which G4016, which means put on, clothe, wrap around, throw around. And this word is also translated as dress in the following verse. Hazan, Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes shall be dressed in white robes, and I shall by no means blot out his name from the book of life, but I shall confess his name before my Father, before his messenger. Studying and learning all this knowledge, just learning it and learning it and learning it, does no good if we don't put it on. You got to put it on. How are you going to be clothed with it? This has got to be the character. How do we know Yehovah's character? Look at Yeshua. We look at what he read. We look at what he taught. We go in the Torah. We find out how the priests dressed. Find out what they did. How they did the offering. How they put it all in order. What raiment they were clothed in. And so when we perform those things, we start doing those things, we start seeing everything of the character of Yehovah, and we start experiencing it and having shalom in our hearts. We have no fear. There's a big difference between fear and peace. When craziness, as the world gets brought upon itself, comes, those who are in Yehovah and Yeshua have peace about it. For those who don't, they can have all this knowledge, but they're not putting it on themselves, because they will be in havoc and fear because they don't know. You're going to be, oh, which way did I go? This happened. This sickness or disease, or this hurricane, or this tragedy in my family happened. What did I do? You got all the knowledge, but you never put it on. Never did practice it. Never did try it. Not grasping it. It's like a child when you grasp it. You got to learn how to put it on. Learn how to do it. Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes shall be dressed in white robes, and I shall by no means blot out his name from the book of life, but I shall confess his name before my Father and before his messenger. There's some messengers that talked about in there on the four corners. Talked about some crazy stuff that they're going to throw up on this earth. This is going to be nothing nice. Remember, there's one that's going to be sealed. Don't touch those. Those are fine. Sealed. But there's going to be ones that are marked. Those are the ones. Destroy them. They're not in my raiment. Think about it. What's in the mind? What did the Kohen and the priest have on his forehead whenever he went before Yehovah? He had the name Yehovah across his forehead. You got to learn all these things about the priests. Kings and priests. He'll be my king and preach. He said that for a reason. This was to the assembly in Sardis, who were told to wake up and repent. To learn from this too. Revelation, Hosanna 4:4. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting dressed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. Hosanna, Revelation 7:9. After this, I looked and I saw a great crowd which no one was able to count. Out of all the nations and the tribes, the peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in white robes and palm branches in their hands. All the ones before the foundation, all the beginning, all the way to that day, just little remnants, little remnants, little remnants, little remnants. And on that day, it says, crowd which no one was able to count, out of all the nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in white robes and palm branches in their hands. Yeah. Passover, unleavened bread coming up, all the way to Shavuot. Then we're going to have Yom Teruah, the trumpet sound. Remember, the dead in Christ are raised. Then after that, then there's going to be a wedding. Tribes and tongues stand before the throne, before the Lamb, dressed in white robes, palm branches in their hands. The reason for me highlighting the various Greek and Hebrew words and terms of being dressed is to make it abundantly clear that Scripture teaches us what the correct dress code. Yeah, Bob's got a dress code. He's got a dress code. We want to do away with his dress code? You might be in the wrong raiment and garments if you don't know his dress code. I think I might want to go check some things out here. Maybe we might be wrong about something, church. Maybe we might be wrong about something. We need to go back, recheck, and rethink this. Well, the reason for me highlighting this, okay, is to make it abundantly clear that Scripture teaches us what the correct dress code is for anyone who hears the call and invitation to come. Those who refuse the call and make vain excuses are not dressed and worthy of the call. For only the remnant, few, who has not defiled their garments will be chosen. There was a certain way the priest could go before Yehovah. A certain way they had to be dressed in a certain order. Verse 11. Take off his garment. Here we are given clear instructions that show how to set apart the garments that are to be used in service are. As the priest was to take off the linen garments and put on his own garments when going outside the camp to remove the ashes. We see similar wording in Ezekiel 44:19. And when they go out to the outer court, to the outer courtyard, to the people, they shall take off their garments in which they have attended, and shall leave them in the set apart rooms, and shall put on other garments, and they shall not set apart the people in their garments. Here in Ezekiel, we see a clear reference to the Zadik priesthood that served in the millennial temple, and here, strict instructions are given in regards to the set apart garments that are to be removed when they go out to the people, and no people may be set apart by the priests when the priests are in their own garments. Pay attention to this. This teaches us a vital lesson of how the equipping of the body must be done according to the strict pattern and design and commands of Scripture. Only when the priests are clothed in prescribed set-apart garments can they be in service and of service to Yehovah and the people. This changing of garments makes us understand how important the set-apart linen garments were, and a priest could not interact with the people and perform sacrificial duties for the people while in their own garments. We're starting to separate priests from the people here. It says, what we can learn from this is the importance of those who have been called and appointed by the Master to teach and equip the body, for they must be dressed in a complete set of partners in order to perform their respective roles and duties in the body. There are many false teachers out there today who are claiming to be teachers that are setting people apart in righteousness, yet they have no regard for the Torah and the commands of Elohim and are not guarding his Shabbat and his feast. You see the raiment we're supposed to wear? And they're at the pulpit teaching and have no idea what they're doing or what they're teaching people on a Sunday morning when it should be Shabbat and feast on certain days and playing the role of Easter eggs and Easter on a Sunday morning on a Passover. You can't find Easter in your Bible, but you can find Passover in your Bible. And you can read these things clearly, where it came from. And Jehovah didn't do away with it. It says, no matter how many decrees and doctrines of a man that these teachers may have, if they are not properly dressed and functioning in a clear set of our garments of righteousness, as prescribed in the Torah, they are unable to be equipping people unto the church. Teaching falsely. None of the people were able to be set apart by the priests who were in their own garments, as this would be similar to the sin of Nadab and Abihu, who brought strange fire and were struck down by Elohim. They came in with the wrong adjustments. They came in, I'm not going to get into great detail about it, but they did it in an incorrect way. Way they wasn't supposed to be prescribed to do. And Jehovah burned them up. What do you think that could be for pastors today? They're teaching the wrong thing. It's not a good thing. Because he said right here, he says, who brought strange fire and was struck down by Elohim. You may say, oh, well, God loves me. He won't do that. Maybe he might have never read a Bible in its correct context before. I don't know. When you read here, there's a many people that died and were struck down because of disobeying his command, his law. Or I should rightly say his instruction. The picture of priests in their own garments is one of how an assumed priest will try to perform the functions of a priest in his own way. On the falsified design of erroneous traditions and dogmas of man that clearly contradict the Torah standards of Elohim. Yehovah is very particular about the required dress function of his priesthood, and to not adhere to this is to reject his authority and his command. We are a royal priesthood in Messiah, who is our head, and we need to realize how he has clothed us in righteousness. And as we see in Hosea, Revelation 19:8, the fine linen is the righteousness of the set apart. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. How many times we said that in church and had no idea what we would say? We would sing it. We would say it. A royal priesthood. Tell the kids, a royal priesthood. A holy nation, a peculiar people. And we didn't know nothing about the priesthood. Nothing at all. So we were graced a second chance to go back and look at it again. We said, Father, if there's anything we missed, open up our eyes. Let our eyes see. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts and minds to know. And that card was played before me on my own turn. And I was like, wow, where'd that come from? I never seen that before. I've been in many, many churches, but I never heard or seen that before. So let me go check this out. And I said, Father, please forgive me. I've been wrong all this time. I was taught wrong. I wanted to kind of point my finger at other people. But now I know. And I don't have no right to blame anybody else. I know. And so I started reading. And I started learning. And I started taking care of what I needed to take care of my life. I said, he's not liking that. I'm not going to do that anymore. And I was like, sacrifice babies? Really? Blood sacrifice? And they did those immoral things. I'm not going to say those things. We're live, and we got children. But you know what I'm getting at. Immorality. Disgusting things. And then take the babies as they were sacrificed with the blood and put on the egg for fertility. 9 months fertility. Time moves and I'm not going to get into all that stuff tonight, but it's really disgusting. And when you look at it, it's a palm. And Yehovah, it's a stench in his nostrils. And we performed that. And we was happy and singing, thinking we was doing the right thing on a Sunday, sun god worship, turning our backs on him and turning to the paganism and the worship of sun god worship. That was terrible. So once we saw that, we had to cut that stuff off. Once you see what you're doing was wrong. Jehovah is very particular about the required dress and functions of his priesthood, and to not adhere to this is to reject his authority and his command. We are a royal priesthood and Messiah. You know when it says to reject his authority and command, it reminds of pastor when he said, you know, when the boat of rescue came with Yeshua on, and he rescues us and puts us back in the boat and gives us another chance. And he says, this is the rules to follow, and he gives us this. And people would say, I don't want that. Well, what's that going for? Stay 400 miles offshore. See ya. I don't want to be left in the middle of the ocean 400 miles. I mean, that's where I came from. You know, me and my wife came here 22 years ago. I was like 400 miles offshore in the middle of the sea. I had tried my last drive on my own, and I wasn't getting anywhere anymore. I was done. I was at my wit's end. And so I came here, and the Father came into my life. I needed a father figure, started learning and inheriting to, and I didn't have all the right words, but I had a start. And so here I am today, getting to see the real truth, and this is pretty amazing. And I don't want to be brought back offshore 400 miles, dropped off, and be treading water too. And so every time I might be going through one of those days and I start going in error, he reminds me, you can go on your own if you want to, but you know where it ends up at. That's where it always is going to end up at. The enemy paints a pretty picture and tries to throw something in your face. Y'all know those memories that pop up every now and then. He tries to pop it up on in your face like it tries to pop up. And it's just one of those days that you may have a weak day. You might have a long day, a troubled day, something that happened. And he'll dangle that in your face. And he reminds you. It may look like you want to go that way or do that certain thing or try and go back on your own. It might feel kind of tough right now. Remember where you came from. And you get yourself back on track and you start doing what he says. You keep yourself going through whatever trial or error, whatever discipline you got to do. And the end result of it is Shalom. It's like I told you. You don't see him in those days to come, but he knows and he sees it. And you don't see it. I didn't see how today was going to go. The wind was howling like you wouldn't believe that tornadoes and all last night. And I had to fish today. And I was like, you know what? It is what it is. I studied. I woke up. I prayed. I said, Bob, you see this whole day? I don't know which way to go, how to do it. I've done this a million times, but I know the waves is rough that way. It's going to be dirty over there. I'm not catching a whole lot of young fish in the marsh. And I got to get out there somewhere. There's got to be a way. And I just thought I was going fishing without any other guys today. I thought I was the only one down there. So I go to the dock. And I said, Father, whatever it is. I don't know how today is going to go. I was thinking I was going on my own and just going to somehow just pop in my mind like it normally happens to go to a certain place. Well, Pastor comes on. See, he puts over there. He comes over here by him. On this. So we start brainstorming of the best knowledge that we have from what we've done in the past. This situation pops up. And so I start sharing with him, I was thinking this. He says, well, I was thinking this. And so I'm like, okay, that sounds good. And so we'll come up with a little result, what we're going to do. He said, all right, that sounds good. Let's go there. So we start going out. We got our little plan together to go where we're going to go. And before we leave, he says, how many you got? I got three. I got four. Okay, all right. Well, my people come out. They brought an extra person on. So I told him on the radio, I said, hey, guess what? I got four. He's like, yeah, I saw it. I said, all right. So we're going that way. He goes, yeah, you want to take the short way in the back or you want to take the long way? Whatever way you want to go, I'm fine. I got many ways I want to go. Today, I'm just submitting. You got to try that sometime. Just submit. You got many places and ways you want to go. I have places I want to go. But he made a suggestion. And I had Shalom. I said, okay. So I followed him. We went straight his way. We got there. I must have threw over 40 bull reds back. He threw over 40 bull reds back. We caught so much fish. We had such a great time. We were behind the rock where it was calm. It was pretty warm. And it had a little ground swell, but it was cool. And we caught fish. The customers had a grand time. 1:30. I'm watching my time because I got to be here. I know how much time I have to clean my fish. I got myself disciplined. Just worked through it. Got to the dock, cleaned the fish. I'm right on time. I'm about to walk away. Fastest trolling motor. Hey, bro, I need some help. I'm like, okay. So I get over there. I'm like,
So, hey, we need to know who this conspiracy is. Like, it's there. Control mode, put it off, the other one on. And time just went away. Love is dead. Time just goes, we just listen to the Bible. And so you just do that, get it all taken care of, get it all done. Here we are. On time. Everything's perfect, on time. No big old rush, no big old hurry. You just gotta listen to the Spirit. You know, the Father gave the Spirit. It's not just the Torah. It's the Spirit that you connect because you read the Torah. You gotta check what Spirit it is. If it doesn't line up with the Torah, then it's not the Spirit, it's the other Spirit of Yehovah. And so that's all worked out really well today. It's just an example of how you just gotta listen. Because we are a royal priesthood in Messiah, who is our head, and we need to realize how he has clothed us in righteousness. And as we see in Hosea Revelation 19:8, the fine linen is the righteousness of the set apart. What we also take note of here is that even the ashes of the burnt offering are to be collected and removed to a clean place outside the camp. Even the ashes are important. These ashes are not worthless leftovers, but actually pictures for us what is left over after the fire has done its work. The Hebrew root word that is translated here as ashes is the shin. Strong's 81880, which means fatness, ashes of fat, abundance, and comes from the root word the shin, which means 81878, which means to be fat, grow fat, anointed, and prosper. The ashes were to be taken to a clean place, which represents for us, in a manner of speaking, a place of selflessness. That is to say that when the refining work of the Word causes us to become mature and not lack anything, we are able to have all pride and all stubbornness stripped away and become a clean vessel that submits humbly to complete service to our Master and Elohim, having stripped away all selfishness and pride in the people. Pretty incredible. This root word having the meaning of fat or fatness, we also recognize that all the fat belongs to Yehovah, which teaches us another vital lesson, as pictured through these clear instructions. And that is that we're to be a daily living offering and give our best, that is, give our all, and all cleanness and set apartness unto our Elohim. And that's in everything. I was telling Brother Ryle today, the scripture that talks about don't let your left or your right hand know what your left or your right hand is doing. You know, you hold by when you're listening to him, and you start disciplining your life and setting in order and structure. You get so busy, it's like you almost don't have time to do other things. It's just a constant. If you get sidetracked or doing anything in the flesh, you'll be totally off track and be behind. And that's why our pastors are telling us we're behind. We need to exhilarate. So when they said that on Shabbat, we need to exhilarate, I went home and I went through more than I went through before. I stayed reading and studying more than what I have done in the past. Just trying to catch up with my feet. We gotta get to this faster, like at the end of Shabbat, I'm already past the next week's program. Yeah, we got a long way to catch up. And I'm like, and I'm wanting to absorb this as we go along. And I gotta remind myself, I'm not Pastor Jesse, I'm not Pastor Josh. I'm Chad. And I gotta keep at the pace that I begin. Not any of y'all are pastors, not y'all are me. But we're all supposed to be on the same page here, studying, learning, and disciplining ourselves. We cannot be engaged in uncleanliness, as we have to come out and be separate. The Hebrew root word used here for clean is the word tahor, H2 8 9, which means clean, pure, purity, and is clean. And the word for place is the Hebrew word Home, H4725, which means standing place, home, country, and ground. Metamorphically, we are able to recognize how we are to remain clean and set apart after the refining fire of the Word cleanses us and refines us as we offer up our lives as daily living, as a daily living offering. Being a living sacrifice that has been cleansed and set apart for good use, we are able to see how we can continue to walk in the cleansing of our Master as we stay in Him and abide in His commands wherever we are. The adjective tahor, Strong's H2889, comes from the root verb tahir, which means the following, H2891, which means the following, to be clean, to cleanse, purify, made clean, properly to be bright, to be pure, that is physically sound, clear, unadulterated, morally innocent, to be purged, purified, declare something or someone clean. It is His Word that makes us clean as we cleanse ourselves daily through the washing of His Word. It is He who makes us clean, really clean, by Yeshua's blood. The word tahar is also used in Leviticus 16:19, where the high priest would sprinkle the blood of the sin offering on the horns of the altar and all around seven times. Seven, as we know, signifies the perfection, and so there is perfect cleansing and our perfect reconciliation by the blood of Yeshua. Amen? I'm not going to go too much further, but I got a couple of scriptures here I want to read. We as a set apart and royal priesthood now have a responsibility to cleanse ourselves the cleansing which He has provided. In Hebrews 9, and I want to bring Hadishah, Hebrews 9:11-14. But Messiah, having become a high priest of the coming good matters, is a greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, entered into the most set apart place once and for all. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, having obtained everlasting redemption. But the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the defiled, sets apart for the cleansing of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of the Messiah, who through the everlasting Spirit offered Him Himself unblemished to Elohim, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim? It is through the one-time atoning sacrifice of Messiah that He will tahar His bride. Aharon was told to cleanse the Levites, and so too do we see that it is our high priest Yeshua who cleanses us from dead works to serve the living Elohim. The word tahar, Strong's H2891, carries great insight for us as we see and understand that a derivative of this word is tovara, which means cleansing and purifying. As we look at the Hebrew word tahara, Psalms 8:2, 8:9-3, we see a wonderful picture. I'm trying to get through. I want to get more taller here. H2, 8:9-3, we see a wonderful picture in this word alone that speaks of our need to come to Messiah who cleanses us from all sin. Why I say this is because when we look at the ancient symbols of these letters, we get a clear picture of this very message of this Torah of cleansing contained in just one word. The Hebrew word tahara, read from left to right of these letters. Tet, He, Resh, and He. When you see this word as written in the ancient pictograph script, we see the message clearly. Let me show you the original pictograph of these letters. The original pictograph of this letter is Tet, container made of a wicker or clay. Containers were a very important item among the nomadic Hebrews. They were used for storing grains and other items. Wicker baskets were used as nets for catching fish. The meanings of this letter are basket, contain, store, and clay. So for this word right here in this letter is keep the word clay in mind. Tet, clay. Hey, original pictograph for this letter is a man standing with his arms raised up. The modern Hebrew and original name for this letter is hey. Hebrew letter means behold, as in looking at a great sight. This word can also mean look, read, saw, reveal, or revelation from the idea of revealing a great sight by pointing it out. It also carries for us the meaning of surrender, as we lift up hands and submit to Yehovah, as we lift up our hands and praise, declaring the authority under which we humbly submit. And then race, the ancient picture for this letter, is the head of a man. This letter has the meanings of head or man, as well as chief, top, beginning, or first. Now, in terms of the cleansing process, we see the following message through this pictograph lettering of the Torah. We as clay baskets come and surrender and raise our hands in acknowledgement and confess our sins of lawlessness before our head and high priest, Yeshua Messiah, and put our lives in the hands of him who lifts us up from the miry clay and makes us clean and purifies us from all unrighteousness. So these vessels have to be glorifying him by submitting to the Torah, and when we do that, we're being put in a position where we're being in his likeness and his image of Yehovah, and that's what it's supposed to be. We're all messed up in a sinful nature of wickedness and selfishness. And so being those priests and learning the Torah, this is what it becomes as a word. We as clay baskets come and surrender and raise our hands in acknowledgement and confess our sins of lawlessness before our head and high priest, Yeshua Messiah, and put our lives in the hands of him who lifts up from the miry clay and makes us clean and purifies us all in righteousness. And so that's why I want to end the four portion right here on the garment. So before I end, I had a prophet I wanted to read. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. This is an important scripture I wanted to read. In Zephaniah chapter 3, 1 through 9, it says, woe to her who is rebellious and defiled, the oppressing city. She did not obey the voice. She did not accept instruction. She did not trust in Yehovah. She did not draw near to her Elohim. Her rulers in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They shall leave no bone until morning. Her prophets are reckless, treacherous men. Her priests have profaned the set apart place. They have done violence before. Go read the rest of Zephaniah chapter 3. It's like watching the movie, thinking about what's going on today, what's going on in the church, what's going on with people and things about us. It all reflects from then. It's a reflection of what's going on today. It's all a shadow from then till now.